Okay, guten Erev Shabbos. This is now, I believe, session 12 in the Chasson Shmuz, You Wish You Had But Never Had. Now, actually, in the last year, I made a couple of mistakes, and I want to start with that, and I hope that the Gaboyim at Guard Your Eyes will take that portion of the recording and append it to the shiur before. So if you're listening to this on recording, you're probably hearing it at the end of one shiur instead of the beginning of the other. But anyway, in the last shiur, it's very interesting because I meant to quote the Rashi in Nida on Yizayin Amud Aleph, and I took from my notes the Me'iri in Nida on Yizayin Amud Aleph. Now, the Me'iri in Nida is really good. It makes the point, but amazingly, Rashi's Lashon is even stronger than the Me'iri, and I wanted to correctly quote the Rashi because it's so powerful. Last week it was at least 12 hours since I was Shosa Revius, but there must have been some left over from Purim, and I switched the Mar Makoma. So listen to this Rashi. This is just incredible. On Yizayin Amud Aleph, remember we were talking about from last week, we were talking about this, the Gemara has to come up with some way to understand why the family of Munbuz HaMelech was praised that they engaged in relations during the day when ordinarily it wasn't permitted. And the Gemara says, because of Onas Shena, that they were so busy and all, they were not able to properly function at night, so they had to fulfill the mitzvah whenever they could. So I quoted the Me'iri last week, which was great. But when you see this Rashi, the lesson of Rashi is even more powerful. And especially considering the fact that there's much less of a Masara on the Me'iri than there is on Rashi. With Rashi, we're in Bedaik, and every single word, the Me'iri's manuscripts were only discovered and annotated 30, 40 years ago and such. Maybe they were around for longer, but there certainly was not the same kind of scrutiny that we have with Rashi. With Rashi, we're Medayik in every single word. And I think this might be the most amazing Rashi in Shas. Rashi says as follows, Onas Shena. So he talks about the rationale, why it might be permitted, according to the Gemara, to engage in relations during the day because of the Onas of Shena. And he says, Mitoch Shunenas B'Shena, since he's overcome by sleepiness, Enoi misavala kolkach, he would not desire her so much. Remember, pay attention to every word. Enoi misavala kolkach, he doesn't desire her so much. Umishamish lekiyam mitzvas ona ba'alma, and he engages in relations merely to fulfill the mitzvah of ona, o l'ratzosa, or merely to appease her. But Rashi says, Belibo kotzba, but he is repulsed by her. Such a child will be from the Bnei Teshemidos and the Gemara Nedarim and Chafim Adbeis. The Gemara goes into all kinds of improper thoughts and attitudes that one can have during relations that could lead to the spiritual and physical malformation of a child. And Rashi's saying that if somebody engages in the act of intimacy, and it is merely l'kiyam mitzvahs ona, just mitzvahs ona, just to do it for the sake of the mitzvah, and he ain't a misava l'kolkach, he doesn't desire her so much, or he engages in the mitzvah l'ratzosa, just to appease her, he says that that's still potentially mibidei teshemidos, that potentially is improper. So I think of all the sources that we have been speaking about, I cannot imagine a stronger and more powerful quote than this Rashi, who is talking about very clearly, even when a person is doing it l'shem shemayim, even when the person is doing it in order to give his wife pleasure, that is not enough if there isn't a sense of desire and chiba toward the woman, and not enough just a little bit, because Rashi says, ein misavala kol kach, that he doesn't desire her so much. In other words, there has to be desire so much. And as I said, when Medayagan, every single word of Rashi, every word of Rashi is scrutinized in great detail for all the nuances. So you really want to look at that Rashi carefully. Nida Yudzayin of an Aleph Dibar Mascha Ona Shena. Also, while we're making corrections, last week I referred to the Siman HaMeshulchan Aruch to talk about Kvod Shabbos, and I mentioned it was a Kuf. I was confusing the page number with the Siman number. It's Resh Mem Beis. That's where Shulchan Aruch deals with Kvod Shabbos. Okay, so that's all from last week, and that I'm hoping the Gaboyim will append this to the end of last week's shir. So if you're listening to this on recording, you probably won't notice it as much. We're listening to it live and such. Now, going back to the beginning of the shir, I always start with this. I think it's very important for people to understand that this kind of shir is really a Hayra Hashah. We're speaking about things that normally are not spoken about in a public forum, certainly not on the internet, but it's important for people who don't have the right view about intimacy according to the Torah and have been exposed to so much distortion that they really need to hear it straight as best as we can. It's also important to understand, I'm now posuk. I'll quote you Mar Makomos, I'll tell you what Baruch Hashem I've had a chance to learn. You really need to use these shiurim as ways to stimulate further exploration and discussion with people who you would get Piskei Halacha from. If you have any questions, you can feel free to email me at simchafeuerman@gmail.com. That's simchafeuerman@gmail.com. Or you can text me to 718-793-1376. So we finished the unit. So this is really the beginning of this year, because what I spoke about before was actually an addendum to the last year. So we finished the unit having to do with intimacy, desire, the appropriate roles. And I wanted to now talk about Shalom Bayis in general and to go into some very specific points about Shalom Bayis. And it's important to start with understanding the role of a relationship, the role of marriage. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Tmura, makes the following observation. He says, Rav Dinei HaTorah, the majority of the laws of the Torah, Einon Ela Eitzes Merachuk, are really only long range. It's an interesting idiom that the Rambam used. It probably was an Arabic idiom that he translated into Hebrew, because I certainly haven't heard that before, Eitzos Merachok, but he means it's long-term. They are long-term ideas, Migdol Ha'Eitza, from great counsel and knowledge, Lasakin Hadeos, to fix a person's cognitions, and his Midos, Yasher Kolamasim, and to make all of a person's deeds proper and appropriate. So the Rambam is saying that basically most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, in one way or another, serve a purpose to correct distorted thinking and midos, and to correct behavior. And I think that marriage is certainly a great place to develop the right midos, and it's really the what you'd call in Hebrew the kor hamivchan, the crucible, which means it's a fiery furnace that forges in the heat of the reactions. It forges the metal and makes it stronger and better. And marriage is a tremendous, tremendous nisayon constantly to do the right thing, to think the right thing, to grow, to learn. And many of the challenges that we experience interpersonally in a marriage are really telegrams from God on how to correct ourselves. And it's important to take some time to really think about what are the correct ideas that one should have. And what I'm going to share with you folks is something that I've written about It's available in Lashon Kodesh and also available in English articles as well. If you email me, I can send it to you. But it's what I call the 13 distorted ideas that interfere with Shalom Bayis. In Lashon Kodesh, I call it Shloshes Deos Kozvos HaMaharsa Shalom Bayis. So there's 13 distorted ideas that interfere with Shalom Bayis, and we will go through them. Today we probably won't be able to cover all of them, so we will have a chance to continue this for another shiur or two. So let's start with the what I call the first distorted thought that many people have in relationships, and that is a lot of people feel that I should treat the other person how they treated me. If they're nice to me, I'll be nice to them. If they're mean to me, I'll be mean to them. And there's a very strong urge to do that, and it's deeply rooted in many cultures, and it's certainly deeply rooted in Jewish culture, because there's a very strong sense of justice. And we're constantly reading in Tanakh and in Sipurim, in the Gemara, in Agadas, about people who get things mida keneged mida. So it's very easy to slip into a judgmental state of mind where we think that we're tachas Elokim, that we think that we're in charge of what types of punishments to mete out to people, and we're in charge of mida keneged mida, when really it's only under certain circumstances a shaliach bezdin, a rebbe, a parent, may have the authority to mete out punishments. But stam, in regular everyday interactions, we're really not in charge of justice. And even though there is this notion of mida keneged mida, and there is this notion that you get what you deserve, it's not our role to be agents of that. And in point of fact, we really need to understand that that is completely the opposite of the mida of the Torah. So let's talk about really an explicit pasuk chumash. In Vayikra Yates, Pasuk Yitches says, Loisikim loisitim b'nei amecha. One cannot be noikim v'noiter. One cannot take revenge or bear a grudge. The Gemara in Yuma, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, explains what are the halachic definitions of revenge and bearing a grudge. The Gemara says, Loisikim, actually it says Rashi, you can look up the Rashi, it's right there in Vayikra. Omelo hashileinim begalcho. Omelo lav. The person said, "Lend me your sickle." He says, "No." L'machor omelo hashileinim kardoncha. The next day, the other friend says, "Could you lend me your axe?" Omelo eni mashilcha kaderech shlochi shaltani. I won't lend to you like you didn't lend to me. Zohi nekima. That's what the Gemara defines as nekima. That's nekama. Netira is a little bit different. Grudge bearing is that you do the chesed, but at the time that you're doing the chesed, you let the person know, I'm not like you, you didn't do the favor for me. So that's considered netira. So basically, you do the chesed, but you bear the grudge, and you broadside the person. At the moment you're doing the kindness back to him, you say, but I'm not like you, who doesn't do that. Now, the idea of nekama, if you want to really define it and isolate it at its essence, what's really being said is that you're not allowed to withhold a chesed on the basis of how you were treated prior. So that's a foundational point. Meaning, in life, there are times we can do chasadim, there are times we can't do chasadim. Someone asks to borrow money, someone asks for a ride. Sometimes you can't do it. Okay, you don't have to always do it. It's a mitzvah to do it, but there are times where your needs may surpass the requirement. It's not the only time when you, in HaShabbos Aveda, they talk about zokin v'en lefi kvodo, that if it's really not dignified for the chacham to pick up the Aveda, he doesn't have to pick it up. You know, if there's a sack of dog food in the middle of the street, could be Rav Moshe Feinstein would have picked it up anyway, but Pashtus, he's not mechuyev to. What's the cheshbon? The Gemara B'Metzia, I forget where it is exactly. It's around Chav Ches, Chav Tes. Over there, right, the Gemara says that because if it was their own Aveda, they wouldn't pick it up. Right? Meaning, if there's something that's so humiliating to you that if you dropped it in the street, you wouldn't pick it up, then you have no chiyuv of a Shavas Aveda to pick it up for somebody else because you wouldn't even do it for yourself. So, Mistavra, when it comes to Chasodim, you probably don't have to do more for somebody else than you do for yourself. So, for example, if someone wants to get a ride from you and it's going to take you 30 minutes out of the way, you wouldn't even do that for yourself. You wouldn't go 30 minutes out of the way. But what you're not allowed to do, and this is key here, what you're not allowed to do is to withhold a chesed from somebody else because of how they treated you before. So you can't say, I'm not going to give you a ride because you were mean to me. So what does this have to do with marriage? It has everything to do with marriage because a chesed can be something really, really small even, like a smile, right? So let's say you're really angry about the way you were treated or you're disappointed or you're hurt. And then the next day or an hour later or whatever, your spouse says good morning to you or smiles at you and you want to teach him a lesson or her a lesson. So you decide, I'm going to frown or I'm going to turn away, give the silent treatment, the cold shoulder. Quite possibly, you did a lav right there because what you're doing is you're withholding the chesed of a smile or kindness. You're withholding the connection on the basis of how you were treated before. So there's a discussion that Chavetz Chaim, if you want to look, in Lav and Ches and Tes, he talks about in the Psicha to the Shmiras HaLashon Sefer, he talks about whether or not it's really an Issa D'Oraisa for a small thing like that, a small act, and not something of real monetary value. But it really doesn't matter because, first of all, he says Sefek D'Oraisa L'Chumra, and second of all, Chatz Ishir Osim in HaTorah. You know, it may not be a lav, but it still may be prohibited, and it's certainly an important point. Now, what is the right? What is the correct dea? What is the non-distorted idea? It is that you have what I would call a values-based approach to your relationship, meaning that your behavior is defined not in reaction to your spouse and not conditional to your spouse's behavior. Your behavior is defined based on what you believe is right, meaning you have to ask yourself, what does a good husband do? What does a good wife do? Those responsibilities, those services, those chasadim, if you will, they must be done consistently and always. And if you're not able to do it, you're not able to do it. But if you're not able to do it, you're only not able to do it because of some outside reason. But if you're not doing it because you're upset, because you're trying to teach the person a lesson, now you have committed nekama. And that kills a marriage. And the reason why it kills a marriage is because it allows resentments to build up in a terrible way, and it feeds the process because you withdraw and become cold and become passive-aggressive. Little tiny things can become these terrible passive-aggressive acting out in relationships because you stop looking for each other. You stop going the extra mile. In fact, you do the opposite. So you're in a rush, you're walking out the door, and you see a garbage can was tipped over last night by the raccoons, and you think to yourself, I got a lot to do, and I'm busy anyway. And besides, what's the big deal? And anyway, she's not so nice to me either. Boom. You know, right there, that's a passive-aggressive withdrawal that is probably a violation of the kama because you are refusing, you're withholding, doing the chesed of straightening out the garbage can that you know would please your wife. And pashtus, it's not the kavadik for a woman to go pick up a garbage can. A man should do such a thing. It's not right that a feminine person should have to go through garbage that the cats messed up. And if you want to treat your wife like a lady, you'll have a lady. You want to treat your wife like garbage, then you'll have garbage. So, but whatever it is, the point is not picking it up is passive aggressive, and it's probably a violation of lo sikom. So that's a really important principle, and it's actually formulated also by the Rambam in Perek Vav and Hilchos Deos Halacha Vav. He says, "Ki shiyechta ish leish." If one man should sin to the other, lo yistamenu, he should not hate him secretly, v'yishtok, k'mo shenemar b'rishoyim, like it's said by the Rishoyim. No, ela mitzvah v'lo hodiyo v'lom olo, lom asishu likach v'kach, v'lom achatos v'li v'dvar ploni, shenemar ochir tochir ha'zam izecha. You have to rebuke a friend. The pasuk's not talking about, the pshuto shemikra is not talking about giving a person rebuke for averas. It means that if interpersonally, if somebody wrongs you, don't resent it, don't hold it in, and don't come to Nekama, which is, by the way, the next pasuk over there, after Ochir Tochir Chazam Yisecha, but tell the person what you're upset about in a respectful way and try to resolve it. But one way or another, your behavior is not contingent. Your behavior is values-based. So you're entitled to be hurt. You're entitled to be upset. And you should address it and speak about it. But no matter how that goes, you have no right to withhold your chesed, and to withhold your responsibilities. And this is not, you know, contingent on anything. And the truth is that if a person wants to get divorced, there's no isser in the Torah to get divorced. You know, this discussion at the end of Gemara Gittin, what kinds of reasons one can have to get divorced or not. But pashtus, ultimately, if a person's unhappy and can't find happiness, and they've done their best, it's no love to get divorced. But it is a love to be noikim v'noiter. So, you know, make up your mind. As long as you're married, no matter how the other person treats you, you have a responsibility to fulfill your requirements and to do chesed for the other person, no matter what. That's what you're responsible to do. You don't want to be married, don't be married. But as long as you're married, you have that obligation. So that is distorted thought number one and the correct way of thinking. Now, another very common distorted thought that people have is that if I'm insulted or I'm hurt, if I'm not happy about the way I'm being treated, I can't be happy, period. In other words, people make their happiness, their own sense of peace and tranquility, serenity, if you will, they make that contingent on how they're feeling that the other person treats them, which is a terrible mistake. And actually, since we're in Adar, I can tell you that it's actually in Megillas Esther. It's Haman's mistake. What does Haman say? What's Haman's reaction in Perek Hey Pasuk at Gimel when he's not able to get Mordechai to bow down? How does he feel? Does he say to himself, this is a problem? It's really unfortunate that I'm not getting the respect I deserve. I better come up with a plan. So is that what Haman says? Does he put things in perspective? Does he try to deal with the situation? No, this is what Haman says. Haman says, Kol ze einenu shova li. Everything that I have, all the success, the fact that I am so honored by the king, is not worth anything to me. Einenu shova li. Bechol eith. At all the time that I see Mordechai sitting in the court of the king, and he doesn't get up. Right? Even though you can't blame Haman for being upset that Mordechai was pagan is covered. You can't blame Haman for that. But why is it that Haman couldn't enjoy all the wealth and honor that he was getting? This is the sin of Haman. This is the mistake. People make this mistake. They got a lot of problems in their relationship, and sometimes they feel really hurt and insulted. And because of that, they can't live. They can't breathe. They can't go another minute until, you know, they have to fight it out or do whatever they have to do. It's nonsense. There's a lot of happiness that a person can have. It's not dependent on anybody else. And not only that, even within a relationship, there are strengths and weaknesses. There are positives and negatives. And even though a person could have said something very hurtful to you or have done something very hurtful to you, that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy other experiences with the person. You can go for a walk with a person and have a good time, even though in other ways they drive you crazy. And that is a really important point, that you don't have to enslave your attitude to how you're being treated in other ways. You could still enjoy your own life. You could even enjoy your life with this person in other aspects without letting this one thing snowball and becoming the only thing that you see, like Haman, Kol Zein and Ushovali. Okay, so that concludes. We did two distorted cognitions that interfere with Shalom Bayis. Another next week we'll do more. I'm going to open up the floor for questions, and I'm going to shut off the mute, so hold on 1 second. Okay, callers are unmuted. Still, because I think the questions are valuable, just you should know they are being recorded still. But feel free, if you have any questions, to put them up. Otherwise, we could conclude the shiur. Any thoughts, comments? Well then, I didn't hear anybody, so I think that would conclude this year for today. Again, any questions, people can always feel free to email them to simchafeuermann@gmail.com, SimchaFeuermann. And have a great Shabbos and be matzliach.